This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Ben Weinheimer. Ben is president and CEO, Texas Cattle Feeders. We'll talk cattle issues in just a moment. First off, let's talk waters of the U.S. Mary Thomas Hart, Chief Counsel, NCBA.
2022 was a pretty quiet year for WOTUS, and then on December 30th, the Biden administration announced their final rule, which is the third regulatory definition of WOTUS in the last 8 years. So that rule was published in the Federal Register on January 18th. It is set to go into effect on March 20th, but by the end of the day on January 18th, NCBA and a coalition of 13 other national trade associations filed a lawsuit to put the rule on hold and ultimately get the rule vacated so that it never goes into effect.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Ben Weinheimer. Ben is President, CEO, Texas Cattle Feeders Association. Great to see you.
Good to be with you, Tony.
All right. It's been a challenge. 2023 Cattle Industry Convention, NCBA Trade Show in New Orleans, and as is usually the case, it seems like the last few years, some travel issues for those who are trying to get here. And for some reason, it's usually ice. It's not just rain. It's ice, right?
That's right. And of course, that from a travel perspective causes the most disruptions. So here at the annual convention, we've been operating with about half the members that we expected to have in attendance, but we've had a good convention thus far.
So let's first start with kind of the state of the cattle feeding industry as we start the conversation. Just off of cattle numbers report from USDA, what, a week ago or so, kind of wrapping things up with cattle on feed report. We've seen that. Where would you put the feeding industry today?
Well, all those numbers, of course, are playing into our cattle on feed numbers and even into our projections for the next 2 or even 3 years. What we have looked at in terms of our modeling is that, quite unfortunately, these numbers look a whole lot like the drought we had 10 years ago. And that's, disheartening, if you will, because we have such a strong beef demand, both here at home and across the globe. And we're really going to be in a situation where we're supply limiting the retail meat case and consumers at a time whenever the reputation for beef and all the efforts of the beef checkoff continue to pay dividends. So that's unfortunate, but we're going to continue, obviously, to do the best that we can do to produce as much beef as efficiently as possible. And, as the other side of that equation plays out, it appears that the profitability of the cattle feeding sector will be in a good position here over the course of this next year and potentially, the foreseeable future as we're in this part of the cycle, right, where the cattle feeders have significant leverage that we've not had in several years.
We use the markets really to kind of hedge out and use those as tools of the trade, if you will. Has there been some revision work on some of those tools, maybe in the fed cattle side of the equation?
There has. And so coming here to the NCBA convention, is really the place where we can come together as all the different state organizations that ladder up to, as we know, at the largest and most effective national cattlemen's organization. So the policies that we develop here carry a lot of weight in Washington, D.C., carry a lot of weight with the public and other stakeholders. And so one of those has been to try to address this issue of fed cattle pickup times and to bring the issue up in terms of needing to implement more of a industry-wide national standard relative to pickup times. And so what I'm referring to there on pickup times is just simply the time from which the feed yard manager agrees to trade cattle with a packer, and then the time that passes until such window where the packer gets those cattle picked up and taken to the packing plant. So in the TCFA region, this what's become known as a seven-day pickup time was originally put in place as an industry trade practice back in 1974. So it's been something that's been dealt with across the industry for a long time. But in other cattle feeding regions, the packers have continued to, you know, extend that pickup time out to 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or even maybe longer without actually having a conversation at the time of trade when those cattle might get picked up. And, of course, that can be very detrimental to the bottom line of the cattle feeder if they're having to continue to pay that feed bill just simply because the packer can't get the cattle picked up in a timely manner. So this is one of those places where several of the major cattle feeding states came together with a unified policy to put this forward as a nationwide industry trade practice.
Something else that happens here is a discussion on ag policy as well. What's happening on that front?
A couple of things of interest on the ag policy front. Over the course of the past year, NCBA established a traceability work group to really put some new emphasis around advancing an electronic animal ID system for the purposes of animal disease traceability. And so those recommendations were brought forward here from that work group and acted on to clean up, if you will, and to simplify some of the policies that are on the books here at NCBA, but then also to support efforts in a more timely manner here over the next 2 to 3 years to see the U.S. cattle herd transition from the physical ID tags that we tend to use today to an electronic ID system that will allow for cattle to be traced at the speed of commerce and help demonstrate to our foreign customers that we have the ability to manage a disease outbreak should we unfortunately see something like foot and mouth disease be reintroduced in the U.S. So it's really a way to get this emphasis put around the need to have electronic identification in the entire cattle herd, and now's the time to do that before we find ourselves in a situation of foreign animal disease.
In a way, it's just like looking back at the history and going, hey, there's some areas we don't want to repeat here. And as a kind of talk about the history side of it, does a cattle contract library, I know that they're not really related, but it does provide some historical perspective for us, doesn't it?
The cattle contract library was something that USDA's rolled out here as far as the first official kind of published version of information from active contracts that they've secured from the four major packers. And so if you look back to when this started in 2022, the pilot program was developed on a voluntary basis. USDA didn't make as much progress with a voluntary route as they had hoped to, so they issued a final mandatory rule in December that required the major four packers to provide the contract information. So that's what we saw here. Packers were required to start submitting that information in early January. USDA has assembled that into kind of a dashboard summary format to demonstrate to cattle feeders and to anyone, because it's just publicly available, you know, how are the base prices of cattle determined? What are the premiums and discounts, you know, the range of those premiums and discounts in some of these contracts? And so that, we hope, is useful information that will be for the benefit of the cattle feeder. One of the concerns and potential unintended consequences is that USDA did design it to just apply to the four packers. And the four packers have a lot more analysts on their team than we do as cattle feeders. So there's potentially some issues there that we're going to look closely. We're going to continue to evaluate the document that they released this week and that they intend to update every Monday, in hopes that it really does deliver more meaningful and useful information and market transparency for the cattle feeder and doesn't have the unintended consequences of being for the benefit of the packer.
We're down to four major packers at this point. Have we learned some lessons in the past from this transition down this consolidation that we need to keep in mind when we look at the very end of this cycle? We're talking about now about the grocery stores.
It's a great question, and it's one that you know some of our members brought to our attention last fall when the proposed merger of Albertsons and Kroger's was announced. And so as you look at our leadership today, many of them have been in the cattle feeding industry for several decades. They're some of the same generation that observed the consolidation in the packing sector and thought, you know, years and years ago as you were gradually consolidating the packer, that as we lost a few here and there, you know, it was kind of shrug your shoulders at it, no big deal. As you mentioned, that's now taken us to the point where really we have four major packing companies. You take a step further down the supply chain to the retail sector, and of course we still have several large, multiple large retailers that help ensure competition for beef products and provide consumers with a variety of beef choices in the meat case. So this thought around Albertsons and Kroger's merging was just something that our membership flagged as a potential concern. We brought forward some policy here that was adopted at this meeting and presumably will be adopted by the board of directors at their meeting later in the week that would give NCBA some direction to engage in these retail mergers. So we spent a lot of time and have even over the past few years really talking a lot about the packers. But we don't need to lose sight of the fact that, you know, competition and oversight in the retail sector is very important as well.
So good to see you again. Somebody wants to follow along with what's happening with Texas Cattle Feeders. I bet we can find you online, can't we?
You sure can at tcfa.org. And then our social handle is at TX Cattle Feeders. And if you don't like to spend time on the internet or on social media, our office phone number is 806-358-3681. We've got a very highly qualified and talented staff, and we look forward to hearing from you on the phone and talking through any questions or issues you might have that are on your mind.
He's the president and CEO for Texas Cattle Feeders Association in Amarillo, Ben Weinheimer. On today's Agribusiness Report.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
It's been said defense wins championships, but in farming, playing defense doesn't pencil out. When growing cotton, you'll score big when you cut your input cost on seed and have the flexibility to apply multiple modes of action. Growing conventional cotton puts you on the offense because at the end of the season, you'll catch and delete your cotton, which helps save 50% or more on your seed costs next year. Find out why more farmers are going conventional and winning big. Call Brownfield Seed or go online, brownfieldseed.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Ben Weinheimer with Texas Cattle Feeders.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Ben Weinheimer, Texas Cattle Feeders, online, tcfa.org.
At Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success is our only purpose. We understand your financing needs and will be here to support you through it all. We specialize in traditional farming and ranching operations, recreational property, equipment and livestock, agribusiness, and country home loans, plus insurance and leasing. At Ag Texas, we're dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success, our purpose.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Ben Weinheimer with the Texas Cattle Feeders Association, but Mary Thomas Hart is chief counsel with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association on what's ahead this year.
Well, it's a farm bill year, right? So in addition to getting to work on our EPA policy, I also manage our voluntary conservation work. So really excited to work on some important voluntary conservation programs throughout the farm bill and make sure that any climate-related policies that make it into the farm bill include not only cattle production, but all segments of U.S. cattle production, both grazing and feeding. Because we know that when we talk about the U.S. beef supply chain, our technology, our genetics, and our grazing management is what helps make us, gives us the lowest carbon footprint per pound of beef of any beef producing country in the world.